During their long-time relation, Vali was likely to have been Aegon's only love, but never his only model. This is not only documented in the paintings of the artist, but also in his sketchbooks, in which he noted the names and addresses of his models, as well as the time of each painting session.
Vienna, 1950. The Rieger family sells Bildnis Vali to the Austrian gallery, the Belvedere Museum. A couple of years later, the young medicine students Rudolf and Elisabeth Leopold reveal their love for art and start together of what would eventually be one of the biggest private collections of Austria. Rudolf Leopold first noticed Schiele when he zapped through a catalogue by a Viennese gallerist and publisher who had a special interest in Vienna's modern painters from the beginning of the 20th century. Gustav Klimt, Oskar Kokoschka and Egon Schiele. His son Dieter Leopold talks about the beginnings of the Leopold collection.
When my father as a student started to collect Schiele, Schiele had really not its place, and it was the core of my father's intention to make the public and the art-loving public understand why the first expressionist phase of Schiele is so important.
For many years, their precious art was decorating the old little house on the outskirts of Vienna, where they had their praxis as eye professionists and lived with their three children. Elisabeth Leopold still does today. Aged 92, she enjoys the sun in the little courtyard and serves coffee to her visitors while petting the cat. She recalls the very beginning of their lifetime hobby and her husband's passion.
He visited the Museum of Fine Arts and immediately fell in love with art. He was impressed and stoked by art's beauty. I want to collect art. Being a collector had been in his nature. He had a gift. One glance was enough for him to recognize quality.
At the top of Rudolf Leopold's wish list of Schiele paintings was the roughly 30 times 40 centimeter small oil painting, the portrait of Vali.
My husband had this stunning self-portrait of Schiele with lantern fruits. It was his greatest wish to hang them next to each other, because as soon as you see Vali and Schiele side by side, you know, they belong together.
Denn wenn sie die nebeneinander sehen, gehören die zwei zusammen.
Vali accompanied Aegon during the summer months to Lake Wörth in Klagenfurt and to Lake Constance in Bregenz, as documented in a postcard Schiele sent to a friend.
The provenance history of Vali is, of course, a conflicting one, but the beginnings are really kind of private. My father went to London to see a Jewish art dealer who had escaped the Nazis in 1939, Lea Bondi-Jahre. And she told him about this painting and said that it was in the Belvedere and that he should get it for him because it's her property, she said.
Rudolf Leopold returned to Vienna to meet up with the director of the Belvedere Museum and told him about Lea Bondi-Jahre's story. There were legal ways to claim the painting, and this is where the story gets confusing. Some say she never legally demanded the painting again. Others say she did request the restoration, but the mills of justice grind slowly, and when she died in the late 60s, nothing had happened yet.
It was researched with the help of the Belvedere, and at that time, there was no reason to believe that it was her property. And Lea Bondi-Jahre never wanted to go to court, and she died in the late 60s, and so the story was believed to be closed until 1997.
Anyhow, Rudolf Leopold was fulfilling his wish of assembling the two portraits within his collection. He arranged an exchange of artworks and from then on called Bildnis Vali his. The Israelite cult community was criticizing Leopold massively for, in their opinion, knowingly buying Nazi-confiscated art. Eva Blimlinger, director of the Academy of Fine Arts in Vienna and member of the Provenance Commission of Austria, explains the circumstances.
Sure, he was aware, because everybody was aware after 45 that there was art which was stolen, but it was an awareness, I have to say, which was not like this as today. Yeah, today it's really high awareness about this, but at this time it was after the war and nobody cares.
Restitution lawyer Gregor Radkorb lays down his point of view regarding this matter.
As far as I can say, based on the reports from the Leopold Museum, Leopold was a very correct guy who tried to always get the history behind his pictures, which is a means of precaution if you go to some serious art dealer. I need a thorough documentation on the works of art. If I don't have them, I don't buy them. Yeah, because I don't want to get into this mess.
New York City, 1997. In the course of the Leopold Collection Schiele show, the painting of Valli is traveling the world of museums, one of them being the Museum of Modern Art in New York. It was during that exhibition when the New York Times published a certain article, one that changed everything.
The daily newspaper New York Times, December 24th, 1997. A singular passion for amassing art, one way or another.
In this article, heirs of Leopold Nicheray raised claims saying that Bildnis Valli had been illegally acquired by Rudolf Leopold and was therefore not rightfully his.
We all recall this moment vividly because by, I think, also a kind of PR strategy, the whole article was published on Christmas Eve. So my father, at that time, my parents were invited to have Christmas with us at home, and he came with the New York Times in their hands. And so the whole evening we discussed not only the case, but also the, as I would say, unfair description of him as a person, where only bad and negative traits were described. So it really was a tendentious article to push the claim.
André Bondy, a great nephew of Leah Bondy Jarret, said the following in a speech published by Lee Rosenbaum, cultural journalist and critic who blogs as Culture Girl.
With support from my mother,
My father fought to put the Valli restitution effort on track. This must have been very difficult, not least because going through the Nazi-era post-war documents stirred up awful memories about how frightful and difficult life was then.
The daily newspaper Neue Vorarlberger Tageszeitung, January 9th, 1998. Schiele paintings confiscated as stolen goods in New York City.
An international lawsuit at the American court between the heirs of Leah Bondy Jarret and the Leopold family followed. The Austrian government also had its interest at stake because even though the Leopold Museum is a privately owned museum, the state annually funds it with hundreds of millions of euros. However, this was not a regular lawsuit according to restitution lawyer Gregor Rathkorb.
Valli was special between the 50s, 60s and the 90s. There was no real possibility to get back looted art, except if there was some political decision between states, but you couldn't. There was no way. And this is the great achievement of the Valli case, that a very modern restitution law was introduced in 98.